Chapter 1. News in the Wind. Surely my older brother was confused. I could hardly believe what he was telling me. I leaned dangerously far out on a branch, my bare feet braced against the tree trunk, and accidentally knocked a scattering of figs down onto the head of poor Atala, who had just delivered the curious news. "A celebration?" I shouted from my tilting perch. "Why are we having a celebration? Who told you?" "I heard Mother say," he called back, dodging the falling figs, "that something very big is happening in the village. And," he paused, his voice sinking to a conspiratorial hush, "Father is going to buy a lamb." A lamb? Then it must be a special occasion. But why? It was still a few weeks until the Easter season, I puzzled, sitting upright on the branch. At Easter time, our family celebrated with a rare treat of roasted lamb. And for that matter, it was one of the few times during the year that we ate meat at all. We knew because Father always reminded us that the lamb represented Jesus, the Lamb of God. And of course I realized that Father was not going to buy a lamb. We rarely bought anything. We bartered for items that we could not grow in the earth or make or raise ourselves, the same as everyone else in our village of Biram. I'm sure Atala knew that if he waited around, he was risking another barrage of figs and questions. He was already trotting away toward the garden plot beyond our small stone house where I should have been helping Mother and the rest to clear away rocks. It was an endless job even then, in 1947, since no one in our village of Biram owned farm machinery to make work easier. When school had ended an hour before, I had hidden up in this fig tree, my tree as I called it, to escape the labor. Now, watching Atala disappear, I wondered what exciting event was rippling the too regular course of our lives. I must find Father and ask him myself, I decided. Instead of dropping down into the deep orchard grass to trail after Atala, I shinnied higher up the fig tree, up to the very top, where the branches bent at dangerous angles under my weight. This was my special place. Besides being a good lookout post, it bore not one, but six different kinds of figs. My father, who was something of a wizard with fruit-bearing trees, had performed a natural magic called grafting and combined the boughs of five other fig trees onto the trunk of a sixth. A thick, curling vine trellised up the trunk and spread through the branches too, draping the tree with clusters of mouth-puckering grapes. Many afternoons I monkeyed my way up onto a high branch, sampling the juicy fruit until my stomach cramped. Then I would ease down into Mother's cradling arms, and she would comfort me, her littlest boy, her dark-haired, spoiled one. "Elias," she would coo over me, shaking her head. "You'll never learn, will you?" And I would bury my face in her thick hair, groaning as my four older brothers and my sister rolled their eyes in disgust. Now, with one arm crooked around the topmost branch, I pushed aside the curled leaves, thrusting my head out.